الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the tafsir of Sheikh Sa'di rahimahullah, continuing with the tafsir of Sheikh Sa'di, Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman fi tafsiri kalam al-Mannan, we have been dealing with Surah Al-Baqarah, and in our last session we had dealt with verse 158. Tonight inshallah, or today, we'll be dealing with verse 159. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. إن الذين يكتمون ما أنزلنا من البينات والهدى من بعد ما بيناه للناس في الكتاب أولئك يلعنهم الله ويلعنهم اللاعنون إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا وبينوا فأولئك أتوب عليهم وأنا التواب الرحيم إن الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار أولئك عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون. Kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English from verses 159 till verse 162.
Verily, those who conceal the clear proofs, evidences and the guidance which we have sent down after you have made it clear for the people in the book, they are the ones cursed by Allah and cursed by the cursors. Verse 160. Except those who repent and do righteous deeds and openly declare their truth which they conceal, these I will accept their repentance, and I am the one who accepts repentance the most merciful. Verily, those who disbelieve and die while they are disbelievers, it is they on whom the curse is of Allah and none of the angels and of mankind combined. 162. They will abide again under the curse in hell. Their punishment will neither be lightened nor will be decreed.
Tabarakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه: هذه الآية وإن كانت نازلة في أهل الكتاب وما كتموا من شأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وصفاته، فإن حكمها عام لكل من اتصف بكتمان ما أنزل الله من البينات الدالات على الحق المظهرات له. الشيخ رحمه الله said, this ayah, although the reason why it was revealed, the reason, the occasion why this ayah was revealed is because of the people of the book and what they had concealed concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his attributes. Because we know even until today in the corrupted Bible that the Christians refer to as the so-called Book of God, you will find in the Songs of Solomon and in John, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, clear mention of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Particularly if you use the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, the name is there, Muhammadum or Muhammadim. Either way, the meaning there is that of plurality of respect as Elohim. Elohim, if you really translate it, it's God. And in the book of Genesis, the first book, it says that in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And if they were to be accurate in the translation, they should have put God. But if you open the English one, it says God. Although Eli is one God, Elohim is God. So why that? Because they understood, the Jews and whoever translated that language, because it's a sister language to Arabic, that there's a plural of numbers and plural of majesty or royalty or respect. And in this particular occasion, in respect, so the name Muhammad comes in the Bible. But when they translated that to English, they made it six. They said they're altogether lovely. So they didn't translate the name, although they have no right to translate someone's name. Your name is your name, whatever it is. They said it's altogether lovely. And there are many other occasions. Anyways, they knew it was prophesied that Allah would send someone like unto him, like unto Moses. close to Moses and not close to Jesus, and that he would speak the words of Allah and he would not speak from his own, it would be, the words would be put in his mouth, which is fit, it fits the Prophet Muhammad like a glove. Anywho, they concealed that and they acted like they don't know that Muhammad was going to come. The Shaykh said, although that ayah, wa alaykum salam, is particular to them, فَأَنَّ حُكْمَهَا عَامٌ, but the ruling therein is general. And it encompasses everyone who conceals what Allah has sent down from the clear proofs. And this is another qa'ida in tafsir. They say, al-qa'ida says, al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. Al-ibra tu bi'umum al-lafzi la bi-khusus al-sabab. The principle, the benefit, the idea that you're trying to get is not confined to the wording, rather the general meaning of the ayah. What does the ayah deal with? So we cannot say, well, this ayah was revealed concerning the people of the book, so this is only applicable to them. So now any Muslims who conceal knowledge, it does not include them. Say no. The principles of tafsir are otherwise. Even though an ayah may have been revealed for a particular occasion, whatever meaning this ayah contains is applicable to all circumstances, all situations, and so on and so forth. Because the Qur'an is majid, it's glorious, it's rich, and you cannot make every ayah specific for occasion, and then you have people saying, well, akhi, this doesn't apply to us today. Because Allah revealed this to Prophet Muhammad and his companions, so this doesn't apply to us today. Then you don't have a Qur'an anymore, and you don't have teachings there. You see what I'm saying? So this is a qaida that is not among the mufassirin. Al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafzi. Umum is the encompassment, love, the wording. La bi-khusus al-sabab. Not the specific reason why the ayah was revealed. So now this ayah here was revealed concerning who? The people of the book. They concealed the knowledge that they have, which Allah had given them concerning the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in reality, as the Shaykh said, but this ruling encompasses all. Anyone who falls under this, then this ayah is applicable to them. Which means that me and you must make or give da'wah. Because what if you conceal, Allah says, those who conceal what we have sent down from the clear proofs, wal-huda and guidance, after we made it clear for the people in the book, which you have, the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ, it is those who are cursed by Allah. So an individual who works with non-Muslims for one year, 2 years, 3 years, and for all these years, he knows that he can deliver the message of Islam. And you don't have to be Shaykh al-Islam. You don't have to be the biggest scholar in Islam to give someone da'wah about Tawheed. Any Muslim, if he's Muslim, should be able to explain Tawheed to someone else. Otherwise, we have to check your Islam. How could you not understand Tawheed? Now you may be shy, then we say, we have alternatives. If you don't feel comfortable speaking, I'm sure you can hand over a book, or a pamphlet, or a tape, or you could bring someone who is qualified to speak, say, listen, let me invite you to dinner to my house, and you invite a da'iyah to your house at the same time, and you let the person do the job. No excuse. No excuse that you remain with the people and the message of Islam is not delivered to them. Because for this ayah, and I've heard some of the ulama يعني, use this ayah as an evidence that you must give da'wah, of course, according to your ability. Nothing beyond you. And so, the Shaykh said, and this is relevant to anyone who conceals what Allah has sent down from the clear proofs that are indicators about the al-haq, al-mudhiratu lahu, the one that makes the truth evident, wal-huda, and guidance, wa huwa al-ilmu alladhi tahsulu bihi al-hidayah ila al-sirat al-mustaqim. Guidance is the knowledge by which you are guided to a straight path. The knowledge that you use that will guide you to the straight path, this is what huda is, guidance. وَيَتَبَيَّنْ بِهِ طَرِيقُ أَهْلِ النَّعِيمِ مِنْ طَرِيقِ أَهْلِ الْجَحِيمِ عَفْوًا. And it will become clear therein, or thereof, the path of the people of paradise, the people of delight and pleasure, versus the people of the hellfire. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَخَذَ الْمِيثَاقَ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِأَنْ يُبَيِّنُوا لِلنَّاسِ مَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ عِلْمِ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا يَكْتُمُوهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the covenant from the people of knowledge that they shall clarify and make clear and convey the religion to the people, what Allah has bestowed upon them from the knowledge of the book, and that they should not conceal it. They cannot conceal it. This is the obligation of Ahlul Ilm. Once somebody becomes an alim, you cannot sit at home, you know, and close your door and say, "Wallah, don't talk to me, man." Rather, you are expected to go out to the people because Allah entrusted you with this knowledge, so that the people will refer to you, because Allah says in the Quran, "Fas'alu ahla al-dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun." Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. And so if all the people of knowledge don't do the job, who are you going to ask? And so this is a problem that we have today in, for example, the non-Arabic speaking communities, where the brothers from various countries don't have any place to go to for fatawa. They don't know where to go, who to ask. And so this requires يعني, individuals to rise for the occasion and try to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you can go back home, at least with the basics, people can refer to you. They can ask you about the fundamentals of the deen, and you should be able to answer them accordingly. You know, each one of us is able to do that. What you need to know is not much. If you want to become a big alim, then we say, you know, ahead of you is a long way. And it's easy to whomever Allah makes it easy to. But for the basics, you should be able to deal with zakah, you should be able to deal with sawm, you should be able to deal, for example, what nullifies fasting. Any one of us can memorize that. There are things that you can count on your fingers. If you read them often, you'll memorize them. If you teach them once, it will be much easier for you to memorize them. So yani, don't deprive yourself of that, because inshallah then that verse will be far from applying to you. Otherwise we're still in the danger zone. طيب. فمن نبذ ذلك وجمع بين المفسدتين كتم ما أنزل الله والغش لعباد الله فأولئك يلعنهم الله. So the Shaykh said, so whoever turns away from all that and he brings about two harmful realities. First, concealing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, cheating the servants of Allah, cheating them by not giving them their due right, by not conveying that knowledge that Allah gave that individual. أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ. It is those whom Allah curses. Who could give us a definition to la'na? What does la'na mean? We said Allah cursed someone. طيب.
Removing from Allah's mercy.
هو الطرد من رحمة الله. To be deprived from the mercy of Allah. When someone is cursed by Allah, meaning they have put a barrier between them and Allah's mercy. They're deliberately denying themselves and depriving themselves of the mercy of Allah. This is what la'na means. And of course it may reach the disbeliever, and it may reach the believer. If it reaches the believer and other things are done which may compensate for that la'na, then all this falls under the mashi'ah, the will of Allah. Allah deals with these individuals on the Day of Judgment according to His wisdom and His knowledge and His justice. Nonetheless, you don't know the outcome of things. So when anything exposes you to la'na, you run away. You don't do that. And so we know many examples of things that can bring about la'na. One of them is man resembling woman, and women resembling men, and a number of things that are come in the Quran and the Sunnah that bring about la'na. Some of them are strictly for the women, such as plucking their eyebrows for the women, and hair extensions also for men and women alike. Tattoos, if you get a tattoo. Similarly, if you file your teeth by trying to look, you know, for the woman, they try to file their teeth as means of beautification. All this falls under changing the creation of Allah. And that brings about la'na. And the same thing is applicable to men. Whoever changes the creation of Allah, then he gets his share of the la'na. And changing the creation of Allah is going against the fitrah, huh? The fitrah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed the human beings upon. For instance, in the case of the men, it is upon the men to pluck his armpit hair or shave it. Scholars, there's lenience in that. Similarly, concerning the private area, trimming your mustache where your mustache does not go over to your lip, and then letting your beard grow. Anyone who does anything, changes any of these, then he's automatically changing the creation of Allah, and changing the creation of Allah is what brings about la'na. That's what Rasulullah ﷺ, when he mentioned the things about the woman, he mentioned that this is يُغَيِّرْنَ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They change in the creation of Allah. And the hadith begins, لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ النَّامِسَ وَالْمُتَرَمِّسَ and so on and so forth. So the la'na was due to change in the creation of Allah. So any man or any woman who changed the creation of Allah, then they get their share of the la'na وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And in this case, if you don't convey... No. Getting braces for your teeth. The scholars say this does not fall under, because it's not being done with the intention of change. It's more than fixing. Somebody's fixing their teeth because of the need to do so. You know, from what I read from the fatawa, this doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. What applies is that the woman will have teeth that are fine, and then she will deliberately put a particular kind of thing between the front teeth in order to make space. That is changing. Whereas the one who has one teeth inside, one outside, and would like to make them all straight for easier brushing, then inshallah this is not applicable. Hey. طيب المهم أي يبعدهم ويطردهم عن قربه ورحمته يلعنهم الله, meaning Allah will kick them away, and he will deprive them from being near to him and from his mercy. وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ وَهُمْ جَمِيعُ الْخَلِيقَةِ فَتَقَعُ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْخَلِيقَةِ. اللهم استعان. And هم جميع الخليقة, and everyone cursed them. The whole, he said, every creation of Allah will curse them. So the curse will fall upon them from all of the creation of Allah. لِسَعْيِهِمْ فِي غَشِّ الْخَلْقِ وفساد أديانهم وإبعادهم عن رحمة الله. Why? Because of their striving in cheating the servants of Allah and ruining their and corrupting their belief system and depriving them from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فجوزوا من جنس عملهم. So they were treated with an equal recompense. This is what they did to the people, that's what they got in return. كما تدين تدان. كما أن معلم الناس الخير يصلي الله عليه وملائكته حتى الحوت في جوف الماء لسعيه في مصلحة الخلق وأصلاح أديانهم وقربهم من رحمة الله فجوزي من جنس عمله. Similarly, the one who teaches people goodness, then Allah سبحانه وتعالى will exalt his mention, and so do the angels, even the fish in the ocean, even the whale in the ocean will make dua for the one who teaches people goodness. Why? Because of his striving in rectifying the condition, the religious affairs of the people, and trying to get them near to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was also treated with an equal recompense. So one group of people, they go the other way, they cheat the people, they don't convey the truth that Allah gave them, they deprive them of that, so they get the la'na. Whereas the one who teaches the people the truth and goodness, and he strives for rectifying their religious commitment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefiting them and keeping them close to the mercy of Allah, then this person gets the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised from the mercy of Allah and so on and so forth. فَالْكَاتِمُ لِمَا أَنْزَلَهُ اللَّهُ مُضَادٍ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ مُشَاقٍ لِلَّهِ. The one who conceals what Allah has sent down is basically opposing Allah and contradicting Him عز وجل. يبين الله الآيات للناس ويوضحها وهذا يسعى في طمسها وإخفائها. Allah سبحانه وتعالى clarifies for the creation His signs and His verses, and this person tries to conceal it and make it ambiguous. فهذا عليه هذا الوعيد الشديد. This person has this great threat and great warning from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إلا الذين تابوا أي رجعوا عما هم عليه من الذنوب ندما وإقلاعا وعزما على عدم المعاودة. Here the Sheikh mentioned some of the conditions of tawbah. Except those who repent. And repentance means to go, to leave that which was being done of sin. or not fulfilling the obligations. Nadaman, out of regret and sorrowfulness, right? Feeling regret and sorrowfulness, not just, you know, not while being nonchalant. وَإِقْلَاعًا وَعَزْمًا عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ الْمُعَاوَدَةِ, and abandoning that thing and having the strong determination that you will never go back to it again. These are some of the conditions of tawbah. That you do it for the sake of Allah, not because the people are, you know, not for the people. That you feel regret or sorrowfulness, or you feel remorseful. Then you leave the sin alone, whatever it is. Then you have the intention never to go back to it again. Not temporary tawbah, permanent tawbah. And that you do so if before your soul reaches your collarbone, before you are in the agonies of death, when khalas, you know for sure that you're about to die, or before the sun rises from the west, which is one of the beginning of the signs of the Day of Judgment according to many of the ulama, and then all the signs will come afterwards. And then sixthly, if it includes people's rights, then you give them their rights back. If you stole 2,000 riyals from someone and you want to repent to Allah from theft, then you must give him the money first. You don't keep the 2,000 riyals, okay, I'm never going to do it again. You have to give him the money back. If you don't have it, you work for it. The same way you were able to steal it, you'll be able to make some more. So now, this is giving people raddul mazalim. It's called raddul mazalim. Returning oppressive, taking away the oppressiveness that you had imposed on the people by giving them back their due rights. طيب. ما وأصلحوا ما فسد من أعمالهم فلا يكفي ترك القبيح حتى يحصل فعل الحسن. And then they rectify. أصلحوا. The Shaykh said, what has been corrupted of their deeds. So it is not sufficient to simply abandon the wrong and the falsehood until you do that which is good. And you have to do the opposite. You have to do the opposite of that. وَلَا يَكْفِ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكَاتِمْ أَيْضًا حَتَّى يُبَيِّنَ مَا كَتَمَهُ وَيُبْدِي ضُبَّ مَا أَخْفَى. Similarly, concerning the one who conceals, it is not enough for him until he clarifies afterwards what he had concealed before. If he has some knowledge that he had concealed, then part of the condition of this tawbah is that he clarifies to the people that I have concealed such and such information, and this is the truth concerning that. A. فَهَذَا يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّ تَوْبَةَ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ مَحْجُوبٌ عَنْهَا. This person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will accept his repentance because there is nothing that will conceal. There is nothing that can prevent the mercy of Allah or the Allah accepting the repentance. And you all know the story of the man who killed 99 souls. Right, and then he asked about the most knowledgeable person, and they told him, you know, such and such fulan, and he wind up going to a abid, not a alim, a worshipper, a devout worshipper, but not a scholar. He told him, I killed 99 souls, is there any tawbah for me? So the man, you know, in his limited knowledge as a worshipper, he's like, I've been worshipping Allah all these years, and you've been killing people all these years, and you think Allah will accept your tawbah? So he told him, no tawbah for you, man. Allah will not accept your tawbah. And so he killed him. He said, okay, yalla, make it 100. If there's no tawbah, yani I'm going to Jahannam anyways, I might as well yani get some more, you know, crimes done. But he wasn't satisfied, subhanAllah. He still felt the urge to return to Allah. So he asked again about the most knowledgeable person, and this time they actually took him to a alim, a scholar. And he told him, I've killed 100 souls, any tawbah for me? So he told him, who can come in between you and tawbah? So then we know from this hadith that there's nothing can prevent tawbah. No one can prevent tawbah. You always have the means as long as your life is still, your soul is still within your body. Once that is done, then that is done. But in the meantime, anyone has the means to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will accept their repentance if they want to repent. But the problem is people don't want to repent. They like their deviance, they like their disbelief, they like their desires, they like whatever they're upon. So they continue to postpone tawbah until the time comes when there's no time for tawbah. Anyways, فَمَنْ أَتَى بِسَبَبِ التَّوْبَةِ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ لِأَنَّهُ التَّوَّابِ. So whoever brings about the reasons for tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. Because Allah is at-tawwab, the one that often accepts the repentance of his servants. أي الرجاء على عباده بالعفو والصفح بعد الذنب إذا تاب, meaning the one who treats his slaves with pardoning and not holding them accountable after being sinful if they turn to him in repentance. وبالإحسان والنعم بعد المنع إذا رجعوا, and with goodness and bounties that he will bestow upon them after preventing them or depriving them in the beginning if they shall return to him. Yeah, Allah may deprive them of some mercy and some bounties because of their sinful ways, but when they turn to Allah in repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them and will provide them with sustenance and bounties from Him Azza wa Jal. Ar-Rahim, الذي اتصف بالرحمة العظيمة التي وسعت كل شيء, the most merciful, the one who is attributed or the one who has the quality of the ultimate mercy, the great mercy that encompasses everything. وَمَنْ رَحْمَتِهِ أَنْ وَفَّقَهُمْ لِلْتَوْبَةِ وَالْإِنَابَةِ فَتَابُوا وَأَنَابُوا ثُمَّ رَحِمَهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. And from His mercy is that He gave them means of success. He made them successful enough to turn to Him in repentance and return to Him عز وجل. And so they repented and turned away, then He had mercy on them because of that. Yani Allah gave them, through His mercy, they even thought of turning in repentance. Through His mercy. Then after they did return in repentance, Allah accepted their repentance through His mercy again. So it was the mercy of Allah that brought them, and the mercy of Allah that accepted their repentance. Otherwise they could have been on the side. Hey. وَأَنَابُ ثُمَّ رَحِمَهُمْ بِأَنْ قَبِلَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ لُطْفًا وَكَرَمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that from them out of gentleness and generosity. هَذَا حُكْمُ التَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّمْبِ. This is the ruling concerning the one who repents from his sin. Verse 161. وَأَمَّا مَنْ كَفَرَ وَاسْتَمَرَّ عَلَى كُفْرِهِ حَتَّى مَاتْ لَمْ يَرْجِعْ إِلَى رَبِّهِ وَلَمْ يَنِبْ إِلَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَتُبْ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ فَأُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. As for the one who disbelieves and he remains upon his disbelieving ways until he dies, and he does not return to his Lord, nor does he turn to him in repentance, then verily it is those whom the curse of Allah is upon, the and that of the angels and all of the creation, or all of mankind in particular, والناس. لأنه لما صار كفرهم وصفا ثابتا صارت اللعنة عليهم وصفا ثابتا. When disbelief was a permanent quality that they had, curse became a permanent quality that they were attributed with. Because their kufr was consistent, then la'na was consistent with them. And as long as they kufar, then the la'na goes hand in hand with the disbelief. صارت اللعنة عليهم وصفا ثابتا لا تزول لأن الحكم يدور مع علته وجودا وعدما. Because the ruling revolves around the reason, whether it is available or whether it is not. Yani, this is the ruling. And many of the rulings are there due to a reason. If the reason is there, then the ruling applies. If the reason is gone, then the ruling doesn't apply. So the rulings are always conditional to some other circumstances that either make them compulsory or otherwise. So if the reason is there, then the ruling applies. If the reason is missing, then the ruling is not applicable either. Is that clear? خيرا إن شاء الله. خالدين فيها أي في اللعنة أو في العذاب وهم متلازما. Abiding therein. The Shaykh said, either in the la'na or in the punishment, and they are harmonious, they go hand in hand. Because when you are in the la'na, that means you're in the punishment. When you're in the punishment, that means you're in the la'na. So it's the same thing. لا يخفف عنهم العذاب بل عذابهم دائم شديد مستمر نسأل الله العافية. And the punishment will not be reduced, Rather, the punishment will be permanent and it will be severe and continuous. Who can give me another ayah from the book of Allah that indicates that and even more? You should know it. It's from the last juz of the Quran. An ayah that deals with whether punishment is decreased or is consistent or increased. Surah An-Naba. What does it say towards the end of the first page? A. Oh. Aywa. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. So taste the punishment, we will not increase you except in punishment. And some of the ulama say this is هذه من أشد الآيات. This is one of the most severe ayat in the Quran. The fact that these people are in a state of, they're despairing, they're in a state of distress, they're in a state of agony, and you know they're striving and seeking, you know, some outlet, some relief, huh? Some وقالوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون. And Allah told us some of the conditions of the people of Jahannam in Jahannam. They will say to Malik, who's Malik? خازن النار. Malik is the guardian of the hellfire. Later, ya ikhwan. So it will not be distracting in the dust. They will say, oh Malik, let your Lord destroy us. Ibn Abbas said he answers them after 1,000 years. They say to Malik, let your Lord destroy us. The people of the Hellfire, خلاص, they're suffering. وقالوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك. After 1,000 years, he tells them, إنكم ماكثون, verily you shall remain. تخيل, imagine. يعني, you come to the teacher in class, huh? And you come to the teacher and you beg him. Let's say you were absent on the day of exam. You were absent on the day of exam. So you come and tell him, please, I want to make up the exam. I cannot afford to fail. You know, this and that. My whole year will be jeopardized if you don't let me make up this exam. Yani after some begging, he tells you, طيب, give me some time. You know, go wait outside for 2 hours. And then after 2 hours, come in. And I will tell you. Now, while you're waiting in 2 hours, how are you feeling? I mean, you can imagine the feeling. You're stressed and you're just, you know, you're hoping, you have hope. And then you come in, he says, no. How would you feel? This is a kind of punishment that is what? Mental. Mental punishment. Forget about the physical pain of standing outside. طيب. Mentally now, you're hurt. This guy made you wait for 2 hours simply to tell you no. He could have told you no from the beginning. He could have told you don't wait the 2 hours. No means no. That is better, right? At least you could go handle your business. You know, khalas, you've ruined the year. But there's also some yani ease. But this is, the scholars say that the punishment of the hellfire wal a'yadu billah is of two kinds. The physical punishment and the mental punishment. That is an example of the mental punishment. That they wait for 1,000 years for the angel to tell them, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ, verily you will remain. While they were hoping that maybe they will get some relief. And then another ayah, they beg Allah, يُخَفَّفْ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابِ يَوْمٍ, that Allah will only decrease the punishment for one day. That will not be granted to them either. In Surah An-Naba, فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. So taste, we will not increase you except in punishment. So then we learn from the punishment of the hellfire that it does not decrease. This is for the disbelievers, right? For the disbelievers, for the mu'min, eventually he will be taken out of Jahannam. So then it will stop. The punishment will cease to end for the believer who dies upon Tawheed. But you don't want to take a chance, right? Does anyone here would, you know, say, wallah, ma fi mushkila, I'm a believer. Yarhamukallah. I'm a believer and then I'll go to Jahannam. If eventually I'm going to go to Jannah, that's still good. Would any rational, sound person will even think in this fashion? No way. Because you cannot handle the punishment of the hellfire. So you wouldn't even, you know, you wouldn't even do that. Anyways, so then the Shaykh said that then the punishment is severe and is continuous. Rather, we know from the other ayah that it increases. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. The only thing you will be given more of is more punishment. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Whereas the believers will be getting the opposite in Jannah. The bliss and the delight of Jannah also continues to increase. The same way the people of Jahannam, they will increase in Azab. The people of Paradise, they will increase in goodness. And we know from the hadith that they go on Friday. On Friday they will go to a souk, and then they will get to see Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa taqaddasat asma'uh, and then they will become better, prettier, more handsome for the men, and they will go back to their wives, and they will find that they have also become better and more beautiful, and so on and so forth. So things will continue to improve. Whereas the people in Jahannam, things will continue to get worse. So you choose for yourself which destination you want. And that is done today. Now in your daily life, your daily breath, your daily day-to-day business, you're already making the decision where you're going to wind up. And the bottom line of things is the Surah Al-Nazi'at. Huh? فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That's another surah. As for he who transgresses and he favors the life of the dunya. Huh? Transgression. You know this is haram, but you go. You know this is the limitations of Allah, but you continue to move. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. He favors the life of this world. He telling me, akhi, Allah said, His Messenger said, yeah, but the people, akhi, they think I look better like this. I think I will look, this is better for me. But I'm telling you, Allah and His Messenger, about various aspects of the deen. Yeah, but you know, the dunya. So they will favor the dunya and the pleasures of the dunya over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Basically, they always favor their desires over the law of Islam. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then the hellfire will be their abode. As for the other group of people, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. As for he who fears the position of his Lord, meaning the moment where you stand in front of Allah and you will be brought to judgment. وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he prevents his soul from its desires. What you soul desires? From evil and misguidance. وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Deal with the ayah. So then he prevents his soul from what it desires. So you know, you desire many things. You desire looking at women, but you can't be looking at women. And you desire more than looking at women. That's a no-no also. You desire many things. Maybe you like to smoke, maybe you like to drink, maybe you like to backbite, maybe you like to gossip, maybe you like to do various kinds of sins in Islam. Islam, alaykum salam, does not allow you to do so. So for you to stop, you must go against your desires. Alaykum salam. That means that you must go against your desires. So really, these few ayat are the bottom line of your whole life. It's one of these two. Either transgression and favor in the life of the dunya, and so expect Jahannam. وَعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Or you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you prevent yourself from what it desires, and Jannah is for you. That's it. So you know, you make the decisions today. Right now. In every aspect of your life, you are put in front of this reality. You will choose one of these two. Every single thing you do, whether it is directly relevant to the deen of Islam and worship, or the matters of the dunya, it's one of these two. There's no third option. For every salah, and for every dhikr, and for every enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, it's going to be one of these two. Either you will follow your desires, or you will stop your desires and you will favor the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're either successful or otherwise. So ask Allah Azza wa Jal an yulhimana rushdana wa naj'alna mina as-salihin. طيب. أي ولا هم ينظرون أي يمهلون لأن وقت الإمهال هو الدنيا قد مضى ولم يبق لهم عذر فيعتذرون ولا هم ينظرون. And they will not be given any respite, any time. They will not be looked into. meaning they will not be given any time, because that time has expired, and that was the time of the dunya, the time when they were given time, you know, some room for them to think over what they have been doing, and they have no excuse to present therein. طيب, we can continue. Verse 163, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. This ayah, although it is very short and brief, but it is one of the most beautiful ayat in the book of Allah. And even the way it sounds, if you just hear it, it has a special, I don't know what to call it. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. Who would like to read that in English, or the interpretation of meaning in English, please?
And your ilah, God, is one ilah. La ilaha illa huwa. There is none who has the right to be worshipped but He, the most gracious, the most merciful.
Jameel. Barakallahu fi. Tell this to the Christians, by the way. And use this ayah with Mark chapter 12 verses 29 and 30. Use this with the first commandment. You tell them Jesus was teaching the first commandment, and the Prophet Muhammad was revealed, has received revelation to teach also, in essence, the Ten Commandments, with the exception of Saturday, because we don't have Saturday, we have Friday. But everything else is found in Islam. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the one. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. When you establish that, when you confirm that only Allah is the ilah, then how are you going to worship others with Him? It does not make any sense. It does not make any sense that you affirm that Allah is the one who created you, provides you, sustains you, will judge you, everything belongs to Him, and then you go and you dedicate your worship to someone else. Or you elevate a prophet of His into the status of divinity, and you make him one co-equal, co-eternal and co-existent with God. Yani these Christians are ajeeb. Their understanding is, and if you just listen to some of the debates that the Muslims had had with these people, it becomes clear to you that they don't know anything, man. They're strictly philosophy. Every time they're presented with the textual evidence from the Bible, where they're supposed to deal with, they're unable to deal with it, so they automatically refer to their intellect. Or, you hear them say, this is your problem, we believe. Well, okay, and the Hindu believes, and the fire worshipper believes, and the Buddhist believes also. So if we're going to say, listen man, I believe, as that is an excuse, justification for your belief, then everybody will be on the right religion. I'll bring you a Hindu, he will say even, he'll more sincere than you. He will cry to prove that Vishnu or Vishnu or whatever their million gods are, that is a God that deserves to be worshipped. You bring many of them who are sincere. So he said, this doesn't mean anything, man. Don't be getting all emotional. Christians get emotional. They get emotional. When once you deal with intellect and they don't know how to deal with your intellect, Allah, they refer to the emotions. Say, I believe, I love, you know, God, blah, blah, blah. They talk too much. Say, listen, leave alone emotionalism. That's not going to take you to paradise. Because I can bring you many emotional people who will say something like, you even better. I'm dealing with your brain. Explain to me what you believe. Explain to me how Jesus is God and the Son of God and one of the three co-eternal, co-existing, co-equal gods. How does that fit? In what equation? What formula can accommodate this nonsense? No Christian on this planet, not even the biggest of their, you know, doctors in divinity, can adequately explain this to a person. A layman will never understand. He will still look like, okay, I still don't understand. What is the bottom line? Who's God? I want to know who's God. At the end of the day, they will not be able to explain. They will get philosophical, they'll talk too much, but you will still have a major problem. Who do I call on? Who do I call on? Who's the one who's supposed to be worshipped? They will tell you one of them. Tayyib, then you say, am I supposed to refer to the Bible as the book of God? They will tell you, yes. You should refer to the Bible as the book of God. Say, okay, if I happen to read the Bible and I come across verses that directly negate what you have taught me, do I accept the Bible or do I accept you? You told me that Jesus is co-equal with God. You say yes. Meaning Him and God are one and the same. Yes. Meaning their will are identical. Yes. Everything is the same. Say, okay. Then I'm reading John chapter 5 verse 30. It says, Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing. I judge as I hear. And my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of He who sent me. So I read this verse. Now, how do I understand your equation of the co-eternal, co-existing, co-equal gods in the light of this verse? Who do I give precedence to? Jesus and what He said, or what you are forcing upon me? They will not be able to give you an answer. They can't. Because they are going against the very teachings of Jesus. And they're coming up with their fabricated, man-made philosophy, pagan belief that they have injected into the teachings of Jesus, so you will ever be confused. And so you know these things, and you could use these in your da'wah on day-to-day basis. And just, you know, to give you the example that how you could prove from the Bible the message of Jesus is Islam. When he was asked about the first commandment, he said nothing but what we read in the ayah right now. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. That's it. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah that Allah guided us to this simple, straightforward, very basic belief that doesn't require a lot of thinking or a lot of philosophy. It's natural that you believe this way. But whenever people, you know, try to use other ways, they just become misguided. يقول الشيخ يخبر تعالى وهو أصدق القائلين أنه إله واحد أي متوحد منفرد في ذاته وأسمائه وصفاته وأفعاله فليس له شريك في ذاته ولا سمي له ولا كفو له ولا مثل ولا نظير ولا مثل عفوا ولا نظير ولا خالق ولا مدبر غيره أو غيره. The Shaykh said, Allah tells us, and He is the most truthful in speech, that He is one God. Meaning He is unique, unique in His Himself, Azza wa Jal, and His names, and His attributes, and His actions. So He has no partners in Himself. And there's nothing equal to Him. There's nothing similar to Him. There's nothing like unto Him. And there's no other creator or there's no other regulator of affairs except Him. That's Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, right? This is the Tawheed of Lordship. The fact that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all these things. طيب. عن الأسماء والصفات. فإذا كان كذلك فهو المستحق لأن يؤله ويعبد بجميع أنواع العبادة ولا يشرك به أحد من خلقه أو أحدا من خلقه. ولا يشرك به أحد من خلقه. هذا نائب فاعل. And if the situation is as such, then he is the only one who deserves to be worshipped, who deserves this level of awe and respect and deification in all acts of worship, and that you worship none, associate none in worship with him. لأنه الرحمن الرحيم, because he is the most gracious, the most merciful. المتصف بالرحمة العظيمة التي لا يماثلها رحمة أحد. The one who is attributed, or the one who has the quality of the great mercy that cannot be compared to the mercy of anyone or anything. فقد وسعت كل شيء وعمت كل حي. It has encompassed everything and it has reached every living thing. فبرحمته وجدت المخلوقات. It is through the mercy of Allah that the creation was brought to existence. وبرحمته حصلت لها أنواع الكمالات. And through the mercy of Allah, the creation were able to attain everything that will complete their life. كمال يعني الشيء كامل, perfect meaning the things that are a must. The things that are commodities, the things that are essential, not luxurious, the things that are essential for you for survival, يعني survival means. نعم. وبرحمته اندفع عنها كل نقمة. And it is through the mercy of Allah that every calamity or everything of this nature, evil, was removed and was protected. وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ عَرَّفَ عِبَادَهُ نَفْسَهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ وَآلَائِهِ وَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَا يَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ مَصَالِحِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهِمْ بِإِرْسَالِ الرُّسُلِ وَإِنْزَالِ الْكُتُبِ. And it's through his mercy that he informed his servants about himself and about his attributes, and آلَائِهِ, about his favors. فَبِأَيِّ آلَائِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? آلَاء meaning favors. And he made clear to them everything that they need from the benefits that will benefit their religion and their worldly life by sending down the, by sending the messengers and sending down the books. فَإِذَا عُلِمَ أَنَّمَا بِالْعِبَادِ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ أَحَدَ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ لَا يَنْفَعُ أَحَدًا. So if it becomes known that there isn't a single bounty that the servants have except that it is from Allah alone, and that none of the creation is able to benefit anyone, عُلِمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمُسْتَحِقُّ لِجَمِيعِ أَنْوَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ. It becomes known that Allah is the only one who deserves all acts of worship. وأن يفرد بالمحبة والخوف والرجاء والتعظيم والتوكل وغير ذلك من أنواع الطاعات. And that Allah is singled out in love and fear and hope and magnification and reliance upon Him and other acts of worship, other various forms of ta'at. And we know the ta'at are of two kinds, right? Physical, the ta'at of the body, the limbs, and the ta'at of the heart. So your heart has also obedience. It has acts of worship like love of Allah, fear of Allah, reliance upon Allah. No one can see that. That's in the heart, but it's an act of worship. Physically, salah, hajj, and so on and so forth. And of course they combine both the heart and the physical. طيب. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ وَأَنَّ مَنْ أَظْلَمِ الظُّلْمِ وَأَقْبَحِ الْقَبِيحِ أَنْ يَعْدِلَ عَنْ عِبَادَةِ أَنْ يُعْدَلَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ الْعَبِيدِ وَأَنْ يُشْرَكَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ بِرَبِّ الْأَرْبَابِ. And it is the greatest of oppression, the worst of oppression, as Luqman said to his son, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily, shirk is the greatest oppression. It is the greatest of oppression, and the most ugly of the ugly acts that the people may do is that they turn away from his worship to the worship of their creation. They worship the servants of Allah, and then they worship the creation that is made out of dirt, and they make them equal to رب الأرباب, the Lord of everything. أو يعبد المخلوق المدبر العاجز من جميع الوجوه مع الخالق المدبر القادر القوي الذي قد كهر كل شيء ودان له كل شيء. Or that they worship a hopeless creation that is, that his affairs are arranged by Allah, and he is deficient and he is unable to do things. He doesn't have the full power, full ability in every aspect, in every way, and that he is made equal to the Khaliq, the creator, al-mudabbir, the regulator of affairs, al-qadir, the omnipotent, al-qawi, the most powerful, الذي قد قهر كل شيء, that he has overcome and everything. Everything is under the great majesty of Allah. الواحد القهار, the one that is the irresistible. Irresistible meaning no one can resist what Allah decrees, whether universally or in terms of the deen. No one can stop anything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. Not the greatest of the angels. And if Jibreel is unable, and the angels are unable to oppose anything that Allah wills, then what about this poor creation, the son of Adam who came from a drop of semen? And so you tell this to the people who worship others with Allah, particularly among the creation. In this case, the Christians, they worship Jesus. Even worse, they worship the statue and the idol of Jesus. And the Hindus worship a cow. And they worship a cow. If a cow was to go in the streets in some of the places in India, man, all traffic will stop. No one will dare to tell the cow to move. Because they believe, that's why many of them, you know why they're vegetarian? Because they're afraid that they're going to eat their ancestors if they eat some meat. Because they believe in tanasukh al-arwah, incarnation of souls. Huh? That the soul, you know, you if you die, your soul doesn't, you know, expire. It comes in another creation. It may come as a plant. It may come as an animal. So they're afraid that if they eat an animal, they wind up eating one of their grandfathers. And so they became vegetarian. Yani some people are crazy, man. Alhamdulillah for Islam. فبهذه الآية إثبات وحدانية الباري وإلهيته وتقريرها بنفيها عن غيره من المخلوقين وبيان أصل الدليل على ذلك. In this ayah, there is the affirmation of the oneness and uniqueness of the Creator and the fact that Allah is the only one deserving to be worshipped, and establishing that by negating it from the rest of the creation, while showing the reason for that, which is the fact that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who did everything and who continues to do everything that we see in this universe. وَهُوَ إِثْبَاتُ رَحْمَتِي الَّتِي مِنْ أَثَارِهَا وُجُودُ جَمِيعِ النِّعَمِ وَاندِفَاعِ جَمِيعِ النِّقَمِ. And it is also by affirming the mercy of Allah, that a byproduct of the mercy of Allah, or from its evidences, is the existence of all bounties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking away all kinds of calamities and evil. فهذا دليل إجمالي على وحدانيته تعالى. This is an encompassing general evidence dealing with the uniqueness of the oneness of Allah. And I remind you, you must include that, the uniqueness of the oneness of Allah. Because oneness or one is not enough. Because after one comes two, and that's nothing special. And if you say that Allah is only one, okay, then that's not special either, because I may have one pen, and you may have one pen, huh? So still, but when I say I have one unique pen, meaning nobody has a pen like mine, unique meaning different than everything else. So the oneness, the uniqueness of Allah is oneness, meaning His oneness is unlike anything else. So that is more accurate in terms of explaining. Otherwise, the Christians who say that the triune God that they have is also one. Huh? So, but is that unique? No, because this is a pagan belief that existed from all the way from the Pharaohs. That some three were made up God. Or more than one thing made up God. That's not unique. So the uniqueness is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who's unique in His oneness. And with this, we will conclude this dars, inshallah, bi idhnillah azza wa jal. Next week, if we all remain alive, we'll be dealing with ayah number 164, dealing with some of the universal signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.